Listening Library presents The Beautiful and the Cursed by Paige Morgan. Read for you by Catherine McEwen. I wept not, so to stone within I grew. Dante. Paris, Faubourg Saint-Germain, late November, 1899. The boy was late. Brigitte crossed the folds of her sable cape to shut out the creeping frost. It was still and quiet within the walled garden, the hollow sort of quiet that arrives just past midnight. Swaths of snowy burlap covered the rose shrubs, making them look ghostly under the bright moon, and wisps of clouds scudded through the sky. She felt like a fool. She had actually believed he would come. He had to have been trifling with her in the markets the day before, when they'd met. Brigitte usually sent servants there, but she was bored with the shopping arcades, and her friend Jacqueline had suggested they go. When Jackie had wandered off to look at some inexpensive paste rings, Brigitte had noticed the boy standing behind his barrow of parsnips and potatoes. She had willfully overlooked his work-roughened hands, his threadbare tweed coat and trousers. Instead, she focused on everything north of his shoulders. He was glorious. His eyes and hair a golden shade of brown that put the finest tiger oak to shame. She knew the boy was unsuitable. He hawked vegetables, and unworthy of her attention. Perhaps that was exactly why she so eagerly wished to bestow it. Before she knew it, she'd given him her address and a time to meet. And here she was. But where was he? Brigitte stared at the garden gate, the arched planks overrun by withered grapevines. She suddenly wanted nothing more than to be indoors, out of the cold, and safe. She started a slow retreat toward the house. If only the barrow boy had been of her class, they could have met during daylight. Even the garden of Brigitte's family estate wasn't completely safe. Not now. The girls who had gone missing over the last 2 weeks had all disappeared from their own homes. The Blanche girl was the latest to have vanished. Brigitte had known of her, had seen her at parties once or twice. No one knew where the girls had gone, but the police were starting to suspect foul play. Perhaps it was better that the barrow boy had not come to take her from the walled garden. That was when she heard it, the sorrowful call of an owl. She stopped, her heart along with her feet, it seemed. The barrow boy had said he'd given owls hoot 3 times. After the third cry rang out, the owl fell silent. Uncertain but hopeful, Brigitte went back to the gate. She lifted the hinge, the iron latch cold through her soft kid gloves.
"I am sorry," his voice came from the left. "I hope you haven't been waiting long."
He emerged from the shadows, and once again Brigitte was struck mute. He was magnificent. She wanted to twist his hair around her fingers, feel the silk of it.
"I haven't," she managed to say. "Will you tell me your name now?"
He hadn't at the markets.
"A mystery to keep you tempted," he'd said.
He looked like a Jean, or a Hugo, or an Amato. Whoever he was, he pulled her away from the gate and shut it with care. Brigitte felt a moment of hesitation as the latch fell into place. But the girls who had been taken had all been alone, with no one to protect them. She would not be alone.
"You must guess my name," he said,
leading her down the short slope of lawn toward the orchard lane. His hand was a pocket of warmth, his touch heating her to her core. His long hair shimmered in the moonlight, as if each lock had been glossed with fairy dust.
"Amato?"
Brigitte instantly knew that it wasn't right. He let go of her hand as if to punish her.
"Try again," he said,
before slipping behind the craggy trunk of an apple tree. Its leafless limbs were black and bent. Brigitte's heel crushed a frost-withered apple in the overgrown grass and slipped in the pulp.
"Jean?"
His silence lingered. No, not Jean then. The moon fell behind a knot of clouds, and the orchard lane became an inky blot.
"I am finished guessing," she said, tired of the silly game.
The lane stayed dark. The barrow boy made no noise at all. Where had he gone?
"Tell me, or I'll go back."
The frost bit at the tip of her nose. Brigitte winced. Coming out here had been pure folly. This boy could be anyone, anyone at all, and his coyness was quickly curdling the thrill Brigitte had first felt. She took a step backward. The clouds parted and the orchard lit just enough for her to see movement behind a tree to her right.
"I'm leaving," she announced.
The bare limbs creaked. Still, the barrow boy didn't respond. The clouds raced back over the moon. Awkwardly, Brigitte kept backing away, a cold sweat dampening her chest. Something felt wrong. She hadn't gone back three more paces when she slammed into something solid, and a cold, sharp pain burst through her abdomen. Brigitte opened her mouth to scream, but a hiss of air was all that escaped. Her shaking fingers slipped over a pair of smooth rods, one embedded below her navel, the other where her ribcage split. In the moonlight, the rods gleamed bright as elephant tusks. A thick black swell flowed down each tusk. Blood. Her blood. She heard a low growl and gagged at the hot gust of rancid breath. Just as Brigitte realized that she would never make it back to the walled garden, the thing with tusks jerked her off her feet.
"Such folly," she thought,
as the world spun away from her. She was alone, just as all the other girls had been. Chapter 1. Paris, Saint-Germain-des-Prés, December 1899. So this was what a nightmare looked like by the light of day. Ingrid stared through the window as the coach drew to a halt along Rue Dante's snowy curb, a single block from the ice-crusted Seine. Mother could not be serious. This place, this ruin, was to be their new home? Ingrid rubbed the fogged glass and saw the ancient and desolate abbey clearly.
"You've completely lost your mind," Ingrid whispered.
Her mother ignored her and continued to gaze out the coach window. Pockmarks riddled the blocks of dirty grey limestone, leaving the abbey looking like a ravaged victim of the pox. The four front-facing arched windows held dull and warped stained glass that had more cracks and gaps than lead and glass. The two planks of desiccated wood, acting as doors, had been left slightly ajar, as if beckoning someone, anyone, to enter. Ingrid didn't think she'd ever seen a lonelier place. Her mother's eyes began to mist over.
"Isn't it marvellous, girls?"
"Mama, please don't start crying again. You've gone through all your hankies." Ingrid's younger sister, Gabriella, opened her beaded reticule for one of her own. Their mother, Lady Charlotte Brickton, had been sniffling ever since their steamer had reached Calais, and her feet had met solid French soil for the first time in over 16 years. She was overjoyed to be home. Ingrid was just relieved to be gone from London. She never wanted to go back there. Not now. Not after what had happened and what she'd done. But this abbey? It only added insult to injury.
"Marvellous! It looks condemned," Ingrid said.
The place was a hulking wreck. Even the new layer of powdery snow couldn't soften the blow. It coated the spikes of a tall, wrought-iron fence like icing. Thick twists form the gate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?